It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined as always by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
We're both looking well, Gemma's looking fancy today. I'm looking like I always look today. We have our holiday party. The
You're
MLB.com holiday
your shirt
party.
Your shirt has buttons on it.
It does have buttons. I'm going to change into a slightly nicer outfit.
I didn't want to change, so I just wore the whole outfit.
I know.
So whatever.
Well, I had a lot of problems getting ready. But at any rate, we have the MLB.com holiday party this evening. We're both very excited for that.
True.
Should be a lot of fun. We also have joining us on the phone, Eric Chesterton, our senior DC correspondent. Every good media outlet has a DC reporter. I believe Eric is actually credentialed at the White House, which is pretty rare for a lot of baseball publications. Eric, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. This is always fun.
Yeah, I really like having you on. We haven't had you on in a really long time, and it makes me sad. So I'm happy that you're here now. Also, that was a joke. Eric is not actually at the White House right now.
He's doing the report from the lawn, the Rose Garden, actually, right now. Lawn. I don't call it the lawn.
How is D.C. right now? Is it nice? Is it warm? Is it cold?
Yeah, it's going to be 60 today. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not used to this non-winter weather.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know. I'm going back to Detroit for the holidays, and I looked at the weather forecast, and it's like, oh, New York, like high 40s, and then you go to Michigan, it's 17 degrees.
You know, it's funny you say that. I'm actually going to Florida for the holidays, and it's been like 65, 70 down there, so it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Come back with the tan.
I might.
Watch out for alligators.
Wow, Gemma just cursed me because she wants an alligator to bite
no,
me.
No, I don't. I just want to be warm.
I'm always terrified. My aunts live in Florida, and whenever I go like on a run down there, I really terrified whenever I go on a trail that like an alligator is just going to be sitting in the middle of the path.
It happens.
I'll have to like try to avoid it.
It really does happen. Like my parents live, their house in Florida is in the middle of nowhere, and like it is just in a swamp. And so when we drive in there, there's always like weird animals running around.
Whoa.
And like my parents take their dog out for a walk, and it's looking everywhere constantly all the time.
Oh,
it's
Reese.
Very stressed. Yes, Reese. So
that's the dog's name, you guys.
Yes, the dog is named Reese. And not after Reese Hoskins, although my dad has tried to change it to be Reese Hoskins. But at any rate, we have a lot to get to today. Obviously, we will take, speaking of Reese Hoskins, the Phillies, former Philly Chase Utley went on a vacation. We'll discuss that. He did a particularly interesting thing on that vacation. We will also discuss Alex Rodriguez's commencement address for his beloved University of Miami. That was really cool. I wish that A-Rod had delivered my commencement address. And then we'll come up with maybe an MLB local news team after George Springer made an appearance on the local news, but not as an interviewee. We will discuss all of that. But before we get to all of that, this story is probably my favorite story of the last month. Forget Shohei Ohtani. Forget Giancarlo Stanton. This is the only thing I want to talk about. Will Smith is making a movie about Michael Jordan's year in the minor leagues. Now, this is according to a report from the tracking board. Will Smith's production company, Overbrook Entertainment, picked up a script about Jordan's year with AA Birmingham, and it was apparently a script called The Prospect, which was on the 2017 blacklist, which is like this thing, it's like this book that circulates in Hollywood of the best scripts of the year that are unproduced. I don't know, it's a very Hollywood thing. But apparently the script's really good, and so it got on that list, and Will Smith is now apparently going to produce a movie about Michael Jordan, baseball player. Gemma, are you excited about this?
I'm so excited about this. I can't even tell you how excited about it. One, it's called The Prospect, which is hilarious. Two,
why would that be hilarious?
I mean,
Michael Jordan was a top prospect,
yep,
Gemma.
Yes, he was. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Two, I have a long-standing agreement with myself and the world that I will pretty much see anything that Will Smith is involved with, no matter how ridiculous it is on its face, because I like Will Smith. It's just what happens when you grow up and you just watch Fresh Prince all the time. It's just how you live your life. And also, I feel like this story is so much more interesting than we generally remember in one line or two. Like, people, oh, remember that time Michael Jordan tried to play baseball? Weird, right? But I would love to see it get expanded to its full nuance and, like, all the things that happened in his life that made him want to do this. A couple years ago, I read this book called The Dad Report for our site, which is just about fathers and sons in baseball. And there was a really affecting chapter in it about how it was, like, right after Michael Jordan's father was murdered, and his dad's favorite sport was baseball. And he really felt like this was something he could do for his dad. And that is something you never hear when people talk about this, I feel like.
Yeah,
so
no.
I would like to see that.
It's also, he, like, you know, I think we'll go into this maybe in depth in another episode of the Cut 4 Cast, because this story is really fascinating. And I think it's worth a little bit more time than we'll give it right now. But I do think that, like, he was a better baseball player than a lot of people give him credit for. I think, like, people will go to his stats page and they'll be like, oh, he hit, like, 202 and he had, like, two home runs, who cares, or one home run. But, like, his manager at the time was Terry Francona, which, small world.
Right.
And Terry Francona would always say, like, he was the hardest working player on the team by a wide margin. And, like, he got dramatically better over the course of the season. He went to the AFL. Like, it was not the farce that I think everybody remembers it to be. And that's kind of why I'm excited to see the movie. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it has a high bar to clear from the Space Jam scene of him playing baseball. But yeah, I mean, getting a double A is impressive at whatever, you know, stage, like whatever standard he set. It's, one of the highest levels in baseball in the world. And he, I don't know, he didn't exactly embarrass himself there. He certainly wasn't amazing, but he was fine. Right? Like, 202 is like not great, but it's, I mean, there are major league players that are worse than that and keep getting jobs. So,
it's true.
And like, imagine it's also like you play catch up, right? Because it's not like he spent most of his life doing this. He's like, he was just, that, I think, a testament to how much, like, how athletic he really was. Like, what a great athlete he was, that he could read, like, your muscle memory after playing basketball for so long at such a high level, it has to completely readjust for this different sport, which is a completely different set of skills, right? And to even hit at that level, I'm just really impressive.
Well,
and he was 31. He was, I mean, theoretically past his prime. So he was not only rusty, but also, you know, pretty old and on the decline phase of whatever his baseball trajectory would be.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I also think, because he was one of, if not the most famous athlete in the world, and here he is now taking a break from basketball to just go to Birmingham, Alabama and play in a minor league baseball stadium. Like, that is just the difference in the scale of those two things is so kind of shocking. I think, like, those are the things that just kind of get somewhat swept under the rug, as everybody thinks of it as this sort of, like, publicity thing, or, like, just, I don't know, like a weird ego thing. But, like, I don't think you put yourself through that if you're not 100% committed to trying to make it work. So I'm excited to see this movie. Do you guys have thoughts on who should play Michael Jordan?
What a good question.
Obviously, the sort of glib answer is Michael B. Jordan, the actor, who is just a lovely, wonderful actor.
Yes,
so that's not to knock him, but it seems a little obvious to go with him. So I don't know if you guys have other thoughts. Gemma?
Well, I liked what we were talking about yesterday. Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
I was actually just about to look up how old he is, because I do think that matters to some degree. He's like, oh, Will Smith is like a little bit too old to play this part now, you know, et cetera. But I just like really like Anthony Mackie. I like that he's in just more stuff now. People care about. I mean, I guess a lot of that's because he is in Avengers. But like, yes, good for him.
Yeah, he's definitely my pick. I know. Yeah, we had discussed this yesterday to give you a peek behind the curtain, and and that was what we had landed on.
To be fair, we are pretty much talking about either Will Smith or Michael Jordan any day, and then they both just combined on this one.
It's
magical
really true.
Day.
Will Smith would have been a perfect choice a few years ago.
Yeah.
Will Smith. Barack Obama wants him to play him in the movie, so I still am holding out for that. I know. Eric, do you have any thoughts on who might be a good Michael Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, Michael B. Jordan, I didn't realize he was basically the same age as Michael Jordan was when he played played in the minor leagues. That's not just a glib answer. That's, I think, a good one. He's 30. Michael Jordan was 31 at the time. I mean, I don't really know.
That's a fair answer. I mean, he's such a
good
everyone
that
actor.
Comes up to me, like, is, like, a little too old. I'm trying to think of actors who are have kind of an athletic build, so they could convincingly, you know, play one of the greatest athletes of all time. Idris Elba's too old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the first one that came to my mind, aside from Michael B. Jordan, but, he missed the boat by a decade or
so. Yeah, maybe he flashes back. Michael B. Jordan is young Michael Jordan. He's a great actor. I mean, Creed, he was fantastic
in, so
and that's
Creed.
Like a
I love
sports
Creed.
Movie. I loved Creed, too. I hope they're making a sequel to that movie. I think they are.
Should make like 5 sequels.
They
because
should.
I mean, come
I know.
On.
It was great. Okay, let's move on though from Michael Jordan. Let's talk about Chase Utley. So Chase Utley, he had a long year. He played a season of Major League Baseball. That in and of itself is challenging. But his team, I don't know if you remember this, made it to the World Series.
What?
I know. And so like it was even longer than it was for the average player. So he had a long year. What did he decide to do? He decided to go on vacation. And where did he go? He went to Dubai. And do you know how Chase Utley celebrated being in Dubai?
Generally? How?
He went to the top of the sand dune, and he hit the dab. And he Instagrammed him dabbing on the dune. And I have so many thoughts and questions. First of all, I didn't know Chase Utley even knew what a dab was, so that's exciting. Second of all, I like that he went to Dubai, stood on a sand dune, and the first thought he had was, I should dab and take a photo of it and put it online. Gemma, what do you think about this? What do you think about Chase Utley trying to bring the dab back?
Okay.
Did the dab ever leave?
But do you think that was the first thought he had, or did he try it? Like, he's like, let me Harlem Shake on the dune. Like, did he just like, dude, let's do the mannequin challenge on the dune. Like, how many? I think
let's plank on the dune.
I think he probably tried so many different things, and whoever took the picture was like, Chase. That is my guess.
Okay.
I think Dubai is a weird vacation spot. I'm sure it's like really beautiful around, but my friend who worked at NYU Abu Dhabi for a little bit was like, yeah, there's not like just that much stuff that you can go do. Like it's a small place, so you kind of like do a lot and then you just are done doing the things.
You can dab on a sand
You can dab
dune,
on the dune.
My understanding is there's a lot of like very luxurious resorts.
Ah,
so I would
that's much different than just having a job there.
I imagine if you're like a wealthy baseball player, you would go and stay at like a fancy hotel.
Maybe dabbing is still really big in Dubai.
Maybe. I mean, you know, it's the other side of the world. So, you know, God only knows how long it takes memes to go.
You
got to
admire Chase Utley to try to, like, keep the dab alive. Yeah. One of the few remaining people in addition to our very own Jake Mintz.
Yeah, Jake Mintz really wants to keep the dab alive. Aaron, do you think this changes the cool factor of Chase Utley? Does this make him more cool? Does this make him less cool?
I mean, as our Chase Utley authority, you are a Phillies fan, so...
The appeal of Chase Utley was never that he was cool.
Okay.
Like almost the appeal is his anti-coolness or like non-coolness or obliviousness to what's cool.
Okay.
And I'm not sure this really helps. As Andrew pointed out in the post, his dab left a little bit to be desired. It was more of just, tribute to the dab rather than an actual dab.
A dab homage.
The Usain Bolt.
Yeah. But what I did look up, his birthday was on Sunday. So this was a very, this was dabbed hours before his birthday. Or it might have even been his birthday.
Wow.
Where he was.
Birthday dab.
It might have been a birthday dab. Yeah.
You got to feel young. You got to pull out the dab while it's your birthday.
So that's, trying to celebrate like the kids.
Let me ask you this, too, as our resident Phillies fan. Do you, Will Smith and Chase Utley are both hanging from the edge of a cliff. You can only save one. Will Smith, Chase Utley, Ben Franklin are all hanging from a cliff. You can only save one. Who do you save?
Chase Utley.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good answer.
Wow.
I like that answer. That's good. Because I think I know the reason here. Ben Franklin already dead. So it's weird that he's alive and probably some sort of weird...
Some monkey's paw situation.
Yeah,
so you want him to drop
the
off.
Sixers mascot, Franklin.
Yeah, the dribbling Ben Franklin. And then Will Smith, he's an action star. He could save himself. He'll figure it out. I mean, he'll just go, oh, hell no, and he'll jump up onto the cliff. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you got to save Chase Utley. I think that's a good, that was a good answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
let us move on from the Philly portion of the Cup forecast, because I really wanted to talk about this. Alex Rodriguez gave a commencement address at the University of Miami. It was the fall graduation, fall 2017, and he took a selfie during his commencement address, which is probably the most A-Rod move that you could make. And then he posted it on Instagram with this caption: happy to speak with the 600 graduates at the University of Miami fall 2017 commencement this morning. So proud of what these students have accomplished. This is the closest I've been to a college graduation. Do the cap and gown make me look any smarter?
Aww.
I love A-Rod. Also, I guess I never realized that he didn't graduate college. I never really thought about that. But yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
He seems like such a smart business mind. You would think that he would have several postgraduate degrees, but he does not. Although he probably has like honorary degrees from
just,
every college.
Well, going to doing this, it means he got an honorary degree, right?
Yes.
So he at least has one from the University of Miami.
Yeah. Is that like a thing? Like if I got an honorary degree from like Harvard, would I put that on a job application, or would that be like?
I think you could, but I think it would be frowned upon.
I mean, like, presumably, if you're getting an honorary degree or some, you have already accomplished a lot in your field and career, and maybe don't need to like put all your stuff on your resume to try to get. I don't know.
Not necessarily.
Like, well, Stephen Colbert used to have that whole segment. He got an honorary doctorate of fine arts, and so he started calling himself a DFA.
Yes, like Dr. Stephen T. Colbert, DFA. Yes,
you could do that.
But I want to...
On the hypothetical day that for podcasting, you get an honorary degree from Harvard.
I might. You don't know what my life is. I might get an honorary degree. It seems like, you know, that would be something you would want to pad the resume with.
Do you think that people who get honorary degrees, like, show off to other people who have them? Like, do you think... So, like, David Ortiz spoke commencement last year, so he has an honorary degree now from Boston University. A-Rod has Miami one. Do you think that they're like, hang out, like, I have more honorary degrees than you have? Like, how
I
does that work?
Would. Especially if it's A-Rod and David Ortiz. Like, those two are linked through all time. Those two are, like...
Let's just talk about how when David Ortiz did his, he somehow made, like, the weird wizard jacket sleeve thing and like the puffy cap look really cool. He was like wearing the sunglasses. You're like, wow, that's like fashionable. That's like a style. People should just wear that. And then A-Rod does it and you're like, oh, what a sweet little dweeb. Like, it was so cute.
Eric, which if you got a honorary degree, would you put it on your resume?
I don't know. I mean, so it would be my only doctorate. presumably. So I'd probably want prospective employers to know that I'm a doctor.
Exactly.
a real doctor.
Real doctor.
Yeah.
What
I would probably put it. Yeah.
What life lessons do we think A-Rod conveyed to the University of Miami 2017 fall graduating class? Do we think he talked about the importance of communicating with others vis-a-vis his new job as a TV analyst? Do we think he talked about the importance of just having a really great relationship with your kids, which he seems to have with his? What do you guys think is the message that he conveyed? Gemma, what do you think?
That's so cute. I hope he talked about his kids.
I hope so too.
I mean, I would imagine that he probably talked a lot about working hard. I would imagine that he talked about curiosity and teaching and learning a lot, like even after what you may think is your time for learning is over, because I think that he did that himself in his own career. He is not a one-track kind of person. He has many different interests that he explores through a variety of different outlets, and he's obviously spent his life up to this point like learning more and more things. If he wants to know how to do something, he goes out and learns how to do it, even though maybe other people in his position would have been like, okay, well, I did what I was really good at, and now I'm just gonna like read mystery novels for the rest of my life. And he's not doing that, right? So I imagine he's like, you might think learning is over, you're like, your journey of learning is over, but there's always more to learn. I hope that's what he said.
That's a good one. That's a really nice message. Eric, what do you think? What do you think A-Rod said in his commencement address?
Sort of similar, Gemma. I think he probably said something about always believing in yourself. I think because he has, post-playing career, really gone into different things, business and broadcasting and stuff that he really doesn't have any formal training in. And he just kind of jumped in and learned along the way and believed he could do it. And I think that would be a good message as graduates go out into a job market that isn't necessarily friendly to 22-year-olds. So,
yeah.
I think that would be a good message.
Yeah, I think so. For me, I'm going to take a step back because I've recently seen Star Wars The Last Jedi twice. And so it is weighing on my mind. These two have not seen it, so I'm not going to spoil it for them. And maybe you haven't seen it either, so I won't give a spoiler to you either. But there's a lot of the movies about the past and about just people's relationship to the past. And I think that that is probably what A-Rod talked about because, A-Rod is somebody who's gone through a lot of different phases of his life and has experienced the highest highs and the lowest lows. And I have to think that, here he is standing kind of strong and on top. And like, he's one of the most beloved figures in baseball right now, which if you had said that to somebody 3 years ago, they would have laughed in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I think he probably gave a speech about how like the past is the past and you can't worry about that. And the only thing you can worry about is your own future and how you can write your own story to make it the story that you want to tell about yourself. And that would be, I think, the most interesting thing to hear from A-Rod would be looking back at that and looking back at how like, yeah, okay, I was one of the most hated people in baseball, but now whenever I come on your television, you're going to have a smile on your face because you know I'm going to say something interesting. And like, I would love to hear about that from him. And I think that that is probably, if I was a college senior again, the message that I would want to hear, that like what's past is past, and now is the time to like build who you're going to be moving forward.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's really great. Hey, Eric, who is your commencement speaker? Because we've all talked about ours on this podcast multiple times.
So, I mean, we had a couple. The highlight was Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh!
What?
Whoa! Yeah. What did Dikembe Mutombo talk about?
He's done a lot of, so I went to a college that is very big on like social justice and that sort of stuff. And mm-hmm. I think their career development office really tries to push grads into like the nonprofit sector. And so he's done a ton of work with building hospitals in Africa and he has his own foundation. So he basically just talked about that and what it means to kind of give back to the community he came from in Africa. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's so cool.
He didn't slap any diplomas out of the air and wave his finger.
He did not.
That would have been the best. I would have wanted him to do that. When I threw my cap in the air, I'd want him to just go up and block it and then sit me down. That would have been exciting.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much we can throw other media personalities under the bus, but Juan Williams is on the board of managers of Haverford College, and he gave a very self-serving introductory speech.
Oh, no.
Tumba, which, and it just went on forever. I'm just like, get to Dikembe. I want to hear this guy, because he was on Phillies fan. I grew up in Philadelphia. He was on that Sixers team, the 2000-2001 Sixers that went to the NBA Finals against the Lakers. So I was very invested in hearing Dikembe Mutombo.
Yeah,
and anything that delayed that was gonna evoke some ire.
I do think there's some there's something about giving a commencement speech that sometimes like triggers something in people's minds to be like, and now is the time that I get to talk about me. I think it's an understandable impulse.
To have. I would be awful.
Let us move on. But before we move on, we want to take a minute to tell you about the MLB Pipeline podcast, which focuses on all things draft and prospect related. MLB Pipeline's draft and prospect gurus Jim Callis and Jonathan Mayo join Tim McMaster each week to talk about what's going on in the universe of MLB's future stars. Last week, Jim, Jonathan, and Tim discussed the prospects headed back to Miami in the Giancarlo Stanton trade and shed some light on the MLB scouts of the year. To hear that and more, search for MLB Pipeline in Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts and click subscribe. It is now time to talk about George Springer. George Springer last week stopped by ABC 13 in Houston for an interview, but that wasn't all he did. You know what else he did? He did the traffic report. He walked out onto the screen and did the traffic report with traffic reporter Catherine Whaley. He talked about how he actually knew a lot about the traffic patterns around Minute Maid Park in particular, which I suppose is not surprising. And then he said, quote, "Traffic just becomes a part of who you are," which is truly a deep thought from George Springer. Now, there's a lot. I have a lot of questions here. First of all, why are athletes obsessed with local news? This is not, he's not the first person to do this. We all know about Mike Trout's obsession with meteorology, but it seems like there is a thing with baseball players who just love local news.
Yeah, they really, I mean, I guess I get it, right? Because fan bases are extremely local, mm-hmm. so they're likely to see you on your local news affiliate. But I'm like, you would pick traffic? Not that that's not necessary and cool, but that's the segment you want to do? I don't know.
Traffic's pretty cool.
Is it?
Yeah, it's absolutely cool. It's a lot of math. It's a lot of, like, figuring out, like, where you would put different, I guess some more civil engineering, but like where you would have like different like traffic lights and how that affects the traffic patterns.
Yeah, but did George Springer get to do that?
He should. I think Houston would be a well-planned city if they let George Springer plan out all of the traffic patterns.
Wow.
Eric, what did you think about this? And why do you think baseball players are so obsessed with their local TV news?
So in our Slack channel, we were sort of a little critical of George Springer's performance. I thought he actually did okay. I mean, he was a little awkward at first when he like first got on camera. He didn't really have his bearings, but then once they showed Minute Maid Park, he like lit up. It really was a switch that flipped for him, and he became a lot more comfortable after that. I thought he did good. Did well, and.
Good edit. Good self-edit. One of the editors at Cut4, I approve of that.
I guess why I think they like local news is, I don't know if this is actually it, but if they want to go into a career in broadcasting afterward, it's a good sort of practice venue. George Springer's, like I said, the switch flipping for him. Now that's not going to happen next time. As soon as he goes on TV again in that sort of spot, he'll be a lot more comfortable from the get-go than he was here. So maybe that's why they're into it.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, maybe it's like job training for the future.
That's
smart.
A really good point. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. That, like, either. If you want to have on-camera experience, that's kind of a low-stakes way of doing it, because if you're watching the local Houston news, you probably have a positive opinion about George Springer. Yeah. So
he's
probably
not going to become a meme. No.
Yeah.
May-may.
Yeah. So here's a question. So we know that Springer's the traffic reporter. We know Mike Trout is the meteorologist. Let's round out this MLB local news team. Who's the anchor? Who's the co-anchor? I guess any of them could be the sports guy. But I don't know. What do you think? Gemma, who do you think would be a good anchor?
I think you always need someone who has kind of like you need a good team, right? Like you need two people to do it. So you need someone who's got kind of like a bigger personality, and then you need someone who's going to ground it.
Okay.
So Chris Archer is up there. Mm-hmm. It's definitely got to be up there. He did some broadcast work too for a while, and he was good.
He was great.
He was good. He was really good at it. So we know he can carry it, right? Yeah. And he's going to be smart and interesting. And then he needs like a more like serious, more grounded partner. And I was like, I feel like there are a lot of guys who could do that, but you also want someone who's going to be like, you want to listen to, who you can like really trust. Mm-hmm. So you have to decide who's the most trustworthy person. I was like, I want to pick Joey Votto, but I think he would be too, like, his jokes would cut too deep. Like, they would be too real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He seems like he has too much of an edge for your local TV anchor. I don't know. It's possible that, like, because he has that, like, good TV classic anchor look to him.
Yeah,
but
he does.
I feel like it would be, he's, like, almost too down to earth.
Yeah, you need, like, baseball's nice, like, friendly guy. And my first thought was, like, oh, David Wright, you know, because everybody loves David Wright. And Mike Trout's doing weather, so he can't do that.
Yeah, Trout can't do it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. And then you need like a road reporter, right? Like someone who just like goes out and investigates. That's a thing, right? On local news.
Yeah.
I don't know. All of the New York local news is like, call this news team and they'll come investigate your neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah, they're very serious here.
I guess it's big city. It's big local news, you know? But I think that you need someone who's really excited and like to go out and do things and be on the road. And I think it should be Orbit, who likes to travel.
Oh, Orbit would be good.
And she's great with people. So
I thought Orbit would be a good sports guy.
Cute.
But
mascots are tough because they can't talk. So like,
that's true.
If you're going out into the community and trying to get dirt on something or interview people,
Orbit's
going to
let the story do the talking.
Or whatever.
Yeah. There's also, I found that like when you interview people, sometimes silence is the best tool. Because they'll just keep talking to try to to try to fill the silence, and they'll often say something they didn't mean to say, and then you can really get the interview going. So it's possible that he would be the best interviewer on the show. He could be like like a Larry King. He could sit down and do interviews like that, like an extended segment of the news. Eric, what do you think? Who would be a good anchor on the local news?
I mean, Chris Archer is easy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with Gemma that you then need someone a little more maybe grounded, down to earth. It's hard to balance that trait with also being someone that's engaging, right? You could say like Chase Utley, but I don't know. His interviews aren't the flashiest in the game.
No, but he would probably be good. He's a good teammate. Like, he's famously a good teammate. And so I think if you had him as the co-anchor, he would just sort of support whatever Archer was doing and, like, generally.
I want him behind the scenes, though. I think he'd be great.
Like a
production manager or something like that. I don't really know what.
That's good. I like that.
That's a good choice for Chase.
Yeah. He also he has that look, too. Like, he would burst into the newsroom and be like throw out the rundown.
Yeah, he has 40
keys.
Yeah,
and you know he's like the sort of guy, he's never going to miss a day. He's never going to call out sick. He's always going to be working extra hours and stuff. He's going to be that sort of guy you really want in that sort of role.
Absolutely. And we know he loves dogs, so he'll be able to track down those, like, you know, dog bites man stories.
That's what you went with and not, like, dog water skis, which is a staple of local news.
There could be dog water skiing. I had a few thoughts on this. Also, Archer, I think everybody that jumped out. But I went a little bit more off base here, and I thought that, like, what would be really cool is maybe if we go after recently inactive players.
Okay.
A-Rod feels like the most local TV anchor who has ever played Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And so he would be really great. The other option I thought of that would be a really great anchor duo would be Hunter and Lexi Pence.
Yes, in.
Right?
Watching
they have on-camera experience. They're very comfortable. They have a really great repartee between the two of them. And it would liven up the newsroom.
I would watch that every second.
Right?
Also, you would love it because, you know, it would be like, it would be morning. It would be morning news, and they would have a coffee segment.
Yes.
Because Hunter Pence loves coffee.
Yeah. The other person I thought who'd be really good at this, who just has the million-dollar smile, is Francisco Lindor.
Adorable.
Right? Like,
he's my on-the-street reporter. I'm changing it. Sorry, Orbit. Lindor is on the street.
Oh, man.
Everyone would talk to him because he's so friendly and nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And maybe, like, now that you're thinking about the Giants, like, Posey, Buster Posey could be like.
Yeah, he feels like maybe he could be the announcer.
Yeah.
Or the, like, executive producer. Like, he would have serious conversations with Hunter Pence. He'd be like, you know, I think you need to hit your T's a little bit
he'd
harder.
Come on, in the commercial, he comes on the set with the pencil and is like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this needs to happen. I don't know what the MLB local news would cover, but it needs to happen.
Yeah, we just, like, wrote a weird fanfic here about the alternate universe where everyone in MLB just works for a local news show.
It's good.
I mean, Hunter Pence would have to be on it. I mean.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I would see him as, like, an entertainment or, like, lifestyle correspondent of some sort. Because he does that Game of Thrones recap summary show with Lexi. And then, looking at his Instagram this offseason, he's everywhere. He's having coffee. He's on the beach. I feel he'd be perfect for that sort of thing.
That's a great point. Maybe the evening news is like Chris Archer, Francisco Lindor, somebody like that. And then the morning show, like your Good Morning America style show, that's Hunter and Lexi Pence.
Yeah. Or, like, you know how there's those, I have no idea if this is on outside of New York City, but, like, after SNL, there's, like, that show where that woman just goes around and, like,
has
cultural experiences.
Yes,
that's what Hunter Pence's show should be. He's just like, today we're going to do this new, like, haunted house and then drink this coffee that was brewed from beans grown underwater in the site of former Atlantis.
Guy Fieri, right?
Similar, mom. Only instead of Guy Fieri, the show that's on after us, it's this woman who was, like, on The Bachelor.
Oh, was she?
I think so.
Good for her.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I've watched that show many times, and I'm glad I'm not the only person, because I assumed I was the only person who's ever watched that show.
You just don't turn off the TV, and, like, you do other stuff, and then you're like, what is this?
This all needs to happen, basically, is what we're trying to say. But it is now time to move on, and sadly, it is time to summarize the podcast into 280 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. But before we do that, we received an email from our loyal listener, Frank. And I wanted to read part of the email because he was writing in about the holiday gifts that we discussed last week. And he found a really cool gift that he wanted to talk about. He says, while I was perusing the vendor tents of a hometown festival, I met a fascinating local artist. His name is Audwin Newman, and he runs a small business called New Art Rivals. His specialty is drawing representations of sports teams, college and professional, with an 80s comic book style. He prints them onto wood and cuts the wood into shape of the home state. And for a Christmas present for my, this is his, lifelong Cubs fan mother, I obtained one of his creations, and he attached this picture of it. It's this really beautiful cutout of the state of Illinois with all these drawings on it. And he says, it featured a crowd of Cubs fans storming the streets, an obnoxiously jacked Clark the Cub hoisting a 2016 World Series trophy, and a Casper-like caricature of Harry Carey screaming Cubs win, all on an Illinois shape quarter-inch wood piece. This was really beautiful, and I wanted to thank him for sending this in. And yeah, if you're out at like a local festival and you see baseball themed artwork, please send it to us.
Yeah, we want to see it.
We definitely want to see it. You can tweet it to us at Cut4. You can shoot us an email, cutforecast@mlb.com. We definitely want to see it because this stuff is so super cool. And we both love baseball themed art and just art in general. So definitely send that along to us. But now that I've given you both time to think about your tweets, Gemma, why don't you go first?
Great.
Give us your 280 character summary of our podcast.
All right. Looking forward to the Will Smith movie starring Jaden Smith about Chris Archer's commencement speech given after he became an award-winning baseball player and local news anchor.
Well, shut it down, because that was the best tweet ever.
Also, Chris Archer does look like Jaden Smith.
He does look like Jaden Smith.
And vice versa.
That was incredible. Retweeted a million times. That was a fantastic tweet.
Thank you.
Eric, what do you got? Give us your tweet.
Let's see. I'll start the same way, Gemma. Looking forward to Will Smith's movie about Chase Utley's adventures in the Middle East. yeah. I guess that I'll leave it there.
I'm also looking forward to that movie. I really want to see that because, as you may or may not know, Sex and the City 2 was for some inexplicable reason set in the UAE. So now I'm just assuming this is like a gritty reboot with Will Smith production values and Chase Utley for some reason. So I'm in.
Okay, here's mine. Okay, here's a tweet. I really enjoyed at A-Rod's commencement address, comma, quote, forget the past, comma, kill it if you have to, period. Close the quote, hashtag the last Jedi, hashtag A-Rod is the last Jedi.
This is unhinged.
It's really good. See the movie. It'll make more sense. If you have a tweet that you think more adequately and accurately condenses our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, please tweet at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. You can read about all of the stories that we discussed today and many, many more at mlb.com/cut4. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. We have a Facebook page, Gemma. Do you know that?
What's Facebook? I know we have Facebook. A Facebook page.
Well, it used to be the Facebook, and then Justin Timberlake shortened it to just Facebook.
Wow, congrats, Justin.
I know. It was really crazy. We have an email address, cut4cast@mlb.com. Ask us any questions you have, life quandaries. If you can't decide what to get your significant other who just loves baseball and they, you know, he or she doesn't have something, but you don't know what that something is, well, you can email us and we'll help you decide, maybe. If you have any other questions about Gemma, about me, about Eric, you can tweet us, you can email us, cut4cast@mlb.com. This is a podcast. If you liked this podcast, you can go subscribe to it through Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast. While you're there, please leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, and take the time to type out a review. If you do that, it helps other people find the show, and Gemma and I are literally forever in your debt. That's true. That's a legal binding contract. So, you know, you'll be able to call that debt in whenever you want, which is pretty crazy. Eric, thank you for calling in this week. It was really fun having you here.
Yeah, this was a blast.
Gemma, thank you, as always, for being here for what is the last episode of 2017 of the Cut Forecast.
Wow.
I know. We made it a whole year.
That's impressive.
We didn't get fired.
Congrats to us.
Congrats to us.
Even though I had to not sneeze onto the mic like 50 times during this
episode. I know. It's crazy. But we will be back in 2018 to talk about all the craziness that's going to happen. Who signs where? Who starts off the season super hot? And, of course, who wins the World Series. We'll be there for all of it in 2018. Thank you for being with us for 2017. And we will talk to you next year.